Praise God. This message, I want to talk to you tonight concerning the fact that we're the temple of God. Paul says it here in our text. He says that we are the temple of God. You and I. Now, I dealt with this subject some, I believe, last Sunday morning as I began this series of messages that God has dealt with me about concerning God's strategy for the end time revival. His strategy for the close out of this age. And I want to deal with that tonight. He says in one place, you're the temple of God. And he says, the Spirit of God dwelleth in you. The Spirit of God dwelleth in you. This is the core of what I want to present to you in the fullness of this series of messages. That the church, I said, has to come to understand something. It has to do something, but it has to experience something. It has to know something. The thing that I presented in the first message was this thought, that you must know something, the church, and that something is that we must know that God lives in us. That the only God life on this earth that is available to the people about us is in the church, in the people that are born of God. God is everywhere. The Bible says that he is everywhere. But nowhere does the Bible say that God lives in his cosmic world. He lives in his body. Now, because of living in that body and the presence of that body and the omnipresence of God, then God is everywhere. But the God life that's available to save is in us. Now, the earth words, I want in this verse that I quoted to you, you are the temple of God, and the Spirit of God dwelleth in you. I made mention of this in the message, but I want to press this on your mind. The words in the Bible ending in eth, wherever that word is, the end of the verb is eth, and God the Father, Son, or Holy Ghost is the subject of that sentence. It means that's God's characteristic behavior. Now that'll hold true throughout the Bible. Wherever you find that verb with eth, E-T-H on the end of it, and the subject of the sentence is God the Father, God the Son, or God the Holy Ghost, then that indicates God's characteristic behavior. God can always be counted on to do this or to act this way. This was a wonderful truth to my heart. When I began and saw this fact, that it always, you can count on God. Look at this. Who forgiveth all thine iniquity? Now that's a great encouragement. It's an earth word. God will never refuse to forgive those that come to him in the right spirit. It is his nature to forgive. God always acts. He is a forgiving God. And when we come to him with a heart open, God will always forgive. The devil is always telling us that we move beyond, that God won't forgive. I've saw more people in trouble, depressed, beat down, because the devil come to them and would try to press their mind that God wouldn't forgive them. But listen, it is the nature and behavior of God who forgiveth all thine iniquity. It is the very nature of God to forgive. Then again it says, who healeth all thy diseases. That afterward is there. That verb, healeth all thy diseases. It's the character of God to heal. Now, I want to press this on you because it's so important as to where I'm going tonight that you know that. Now, nothing is a test case. God never healed anybody because they were good. He healed them because they believed him. I know we look at people and say, I don't understand. That person was so wonderful and they weren't healed. That has nothing to do with it. It is this book, God will never act contrary to his own character. And when the Bible said, who healeth all thy diseases, that simply says God is a healer. He'll never act contrary to that. When a person comes to God, asks God in faith, and believes it, God will heal that person. Now, this scripture that I quoted to you, God dwelleth in you. You are the temple of God, and God dwelleth in you. It is the character and the behavior of God to dwell in those that have been born again. That is the very nature of God. He wants to live in me. You know, it's wonderful when you begin to realize how God is committed to me. He wants me to be committed to Him. But I, in this Bible, understand that He's committed to me. If I won't walk out on this contract, He'll never leave me nor forsake me. We quote that glibly sometimes. I'm here to tell you, He said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Now, if there's any divorce in this relationship, it's going to happen on our side. It is the behavior of God to dwell in us. Isn't that wonderful? He wants to live in me. You know, when I come to the prayer meeting in the morning, it's always wonderful for me when I come into His presence there, because He has invited me into that presence. He said, come boldly into the throne of grace. That is a privilege, folks. God has encouraged us and invited us. And here it says, God dwelleth in you. That F means it is the very behavior and character of God. Now, I know we do something. You fail. And the devil says to you, God don't dwell there anymore. God doesn't dwell. He's always coming. But the devil is a liar. Listen, the devil is a liar. He's always coming. God knows what you did. God knows when you failed. But He kept on dwelling. Now you hold on to it. I'm not encouraging any sin. But I am telling you that God doesn't leave me every time I fail God. God doesn't run off and leave me any more than I run off and left them two children of mine. They failed. They did something I didn't want them to do a lot of times. But I can tell you, I told them all of their lives, we are the best friend you've got. We're your friend unconditionally. If you're in trouble, I'm your friend. If you're doing good, they put you in that jail, I'll be standing outside of that door. I may work you over when I get you home, but I'll be there. I am your friend. Listen, God dwells in me. When I fail in the all of hell comes and says He doesn't live there. But listen, God will take care. God knows what you did, and He kept on dwelling. Thank God. I said He kept on dwelling. He knew when I failed, but He kept on dwelling. Now you know that I'm not talking about murder. I'm not talking about adultery. I mean when we do those ugly things, when that temper gets out of hand, when you say something you didn't want to say, when you act like you didn't want to act, then God never leaves you. He deals with you. The Holy Spirit begins to work. You see, it's the nature and the character of God to dwell in us. God will take care of those things that don't belong. This is His temple. He's Lord of the mansion. Can you say amen? And God will take care of it. James said that God's Spirit through the Word, listen to this, was always dealing with those evils. Now Paul said, when I want to do good, evil is present with me. Now that bothered me. That word evil has a connotation about it. And he said, when I want to do good, I know he's saved now because the warfare that's taking place in his life. He says, when I want to do good, evil is present with me. That worried me for a long time until I discovered what the word evil means there. It didn't mean killing, didn't mean adultery, didn't mean that he is stealing, but it meant those things that slip in on us, that the devil is so quick to pick up on and say to you that God has left you. But I'm here to tell you, brothers and sisters, if you don't walk out on God, there'll be failures in your life. But if you don't turn your back, walk out on God and renounce Him. God is going to dwell in you. Hallelujah. God dwelleth in you. Isn't that wonderful? Let me tell you, when I go to bed tonight, my head presses that pillow, I can say, God liveth within me. When I get up in the morning, head for this prayer meeting, God liveth within me. I don't come to that prayer meeting to meet Him. I bring Him to that prayer meeting. Hallelujah to God. Church isn't some place I go. The church is what I am. Hallelujah. Oh yes, sir, the church is what we are. We don't lock Him up in this building, folks. I can tell you that. No, sir. He lives in us. Oh, Paul's statement. He was saying those things. When the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of God raises up a standard against him. How does he do it? Listen to it. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanseth me from all unrighteousness. Oh, hallelujah. It's always a cleansing. I said it's always a cleansing. We're not fail. That enemy comes in against us. Then the Holy Spirit raises up that standard. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth me from all unrighteousness. Oh, this is such a wonderful thing. When God begins to take, when we begin to take hold of it, He keeps on dwelling. Now, the Greek word for dwell means to take on skin. Now, you listen to me. It means to take on skin. That Old Testament tabernacle, the whole outside of it was a skin covering. It was a skin covering. It was ugly as sin on the outside, but it was skins all over. Now, God dwelt in there. Now, the word dwell in the Greek means to take on skin. Now, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word become flesh. It took on skin and dwelt among us. Jesus become the skin tent of God. Oh, my God, I'm going to run here in a minute. Hallelujah! Listen, folks, I'm telling you what we are. We have to come to know something. It's not just a Sunday school here on a corner. It is that. It's a teaching about this. But we're here as a skin tent of God. I want to get into this. Listen. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. That is, it become a skin tent among us. Now, the word dwelleth in the Hebrew is the word shekan. Now, this is the word that we get for the Shekinah. You know, the Shekinah, glory of God. Now, Ah is the word for God, and Shekinah is that which covers God. It is that which covers God. Now, when you look at it, what came into the Holy of Holies? God came in. How'd He come? Covered by a cloud and covered by a fire. That fire wasn't God, and that cloud wasn't God. I'm not God, but you're not God. I can tell you, I'm a covering for God. God lives in my heart tonight. God lives in the church. And if men are going to find God, they got to find Him here. Oh, hallelujah. I said, hallelujah. Oh, thank God. Listen, He came into that tabernacle with a fire and a cloud. That fire and that cloud was the covering of God. Amen. When John said the Word become flesh and dwelt among us, he used the same word that for Shekinah. Jesus came and became God's Shekinah. While He was on this earth, while Jesus walked this earth, He walked it as a man, the same kind of a man I am as a new creature. He was the firstborn of a new race. When I was born again, I become what He is as a son of man. The disciples, Jesus was His fleshly name. It's a name that God gave Him as a man. Now, it's something when you read nowhere in the Bible did the apostles, I'm not saying this, just saying this in passing, they never called Him Jesus. They called Him Lord. He is Jesus. And in that name we cast out devils. But He walked this earth, is what I'm telling you, as a glory, as a man, a new creation. He's glorified, and I wasn't then. Walked it in a body just like this one. He walked this earth all the while he on this earth, he was God's covering. Now when the time come for him to return to heaven, for Jesus to go back, the disciples pleaded with him not to go. They begged him, don't leave us now. But he said, it's expedient for you that I go away, because when I get up there, me and the Father are going to have a talk, and we're going to send you another comforter, one that has been with you but is going to be in you. What he's saying now, you are going to become the skin covering for God. You're going to become the place where God lives. In that Old Testament, he lived in that tabernacle. For 33 years, he walked this earth in the Lord Jesus Christ. But tonight, he's in Beaumont, Texas, because we're in Beaumont, Texas. He's here tonight because that church is here. You and I. Hallelujah. What a privilege, but what a responsibility. I said, what a privilege, but what a responsibility. Amen. Jesus said, he's been with you, but he'll be in you. What does that say about us? What the Holy Spirit was in Israel in the tabernacle, in the temple, what Jesus was in the flesh while he was incarnated on this earth, he now is in the church. What he was in that, he now is in us. We have become the holy of holies on this earth. Amen. I made mention of this. You know what happened in that holy of holies? There was that, the word temple, as I told you, means first of all the whole compound of Zion. It is the outer court, the holy place. But the other word for it means the holy of holies. And that's what he was saying here. You know what took place in the holy of holies? The priest went in once a year, blood on his thumb, ear and toe, with a basin of blood. And he went in, poured it on the mercy seat. And if it was accepted, he came back and announced that God had put the sins off for another year. And the people out there said amen. And the glory filled that holy of holies. I'm telling you, when Jesus sat down on the right hand of the Father and said to the Father, the church is down there in that upper room saying, so be it. Amen. They're praising God. Then God poured out that glory. And to the holy of holies, that was 120 people. The church became that dwelling place of God. The holy of holies. That's awesome to think about, isn't it? I said that's an awesome thought to take on when you begin to realize what we are, the responsibility that is with that. He has put the same fire, life, power in his church and promised to dwell in them forever. The same thing that was in him is in that church. The same fire that is in that Old Testament tabernacle is in his church today. The same fire, the same power, the same glory promised to be with him forever. For 33 years, Jesus was God's skin tent. Amen. In ancient Israel, the Shekinah was a cloud in the fire. Now, that glory has been put into the church. The church, you and I, are God's cover for his glory. You know what that says? That glory can only be seen through us. That glory can only be seen through that body, that church. We're here not only as the purpose of God, but as a means by which that purpose is fulfilled. The church must know who she is. She must know who she is. Amen. Listen. If she truly knew who she is, what I'm telling you tonight, the devil would shake and tremble every time one of us come around. Jesus come into a meeting, the devil said, what are you doing here, tormenting me before my time? I mean, when he came into that crowd as a man, it wasn't just they recognizing God as a man there full of the Holy Ghost. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth, who went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil. Whenever he came in, maybe a deacon, folks, but the devil's enemy cried out, why have you come to torment us before our time? That's where God wants us to occupy. You listen, if we really knew what we are and what's possessed in us as the people of God. The devil would shake and tremble if we knew who we were. We'd love one another. We'd stand like a hedge around one another. If we really knew who we were, we'd stand like a hedge around one another. God said, if any man defile the temple, I will destroy him. God help us to love one another. Listen, we must know who we are. We're the temple of God. We're the holiest of holies. We're the cover for God's glory. I said we're the cover for God's glory. Now the church not only has to know something, the church has to do something. I'm talking about in preparation for the end time. He said that he's going to pour out his spirit upon all flesh. Amen. On all flesh. Now Joel said, in the last days, saith God, I'll pour out of my spirit. He said afterward, Joel said. But Peter didn't say afterward. He said, in the last days, I'll pour out of my spirit on all flesh. That's Acts 2:16. Peter said, this is that which is spoken by the prophet Joel. Now, this means we have the same thing in Joel that we have in the book of Acts. Do you take it to mean that? Is that what you take it to mean? Then that means that the same Holy Ghost that wrote the New Testament wrote the Old Testament. You have the same thing in Joel as you have in the book of Acts. This is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. Now, the best commentary on the New Testament is the Old Testament. And the best source book on the New Testament is the Old Testament. Either way you look at it, we're always looking for pretext, but God would have us to look at the context and we'd find the answer. You see, the Bible is the interpreter of itself. Many times, I know I've had books lined out, my knees get sore trying to find what it was looking for and all kinds of commentary. But seemed like the Holy Ghost said to me, why don't you look at the next verse? I mean, just look down the line a little. The answer is here. It is in this book, you see. The source book of the New Testament is the Old, and the source of the Old is the New. You find it, the textbook. Joel said this, it shall come to pass afterward. Peter said, this is that, but he didn't say afterward. He said, in the last days. In the last days. Now notice, the word used after the last days is the word eschator. Now eschatology is a study of the end time. Now this eschator here is, it talks about the beginning of that. That's what happened in the book of Acts. This is when Peter stood up to preach. That's a beginning. The birth of the church is a beginning of those last days. We have it coming in. The last day has begun with the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Amen. From all of the Old Testament stories, there'd be probably 2 days of the last day. One day being 1,000 years. He talks about 2 days and he raised him up. Most interpreters of that believe that there'll be 2 days somewhere in the near facsimile. We're approaching the 2,000 years now. Then there'll be that 1,000 years of the peace of God. Now how all that works out, I don't know. Just know it's going to work out. But Peter said what Joel said was going to be culminated in the end of time. That's what he said. That what he said there is going to take place in the end of time. Afterward, I'll pour out my spirit on all flesh. Now the word flesh means all humanity. Peter said, in the last days. Joel said, after. Now, what meaneth this? We used to sing when I first come into Pentecost, got into the church. I had an old song. Some of you here heard it. Get under the spout where the glory comes out. Now, that's a good song, but bad theology. You know, that's a good song. Sounds good. Get under the spout where the glory comes out. I know. I wanted to be sure. I wonder what end the altar is going to come tonight. I wanted to be there when that pitcher was turned over. But I discovered God had already poured it out. And the pitcher was the church. And that for the end time, what Peter was talking about, and for the Holy Spirit to be poured out upon all flesh. There had to be a church in the end time that was right with God. What meaneth this? What meaneth this? God had already poured that out. Now, eschator, that was a beginning. The word eschaton, that's what Peter was talking about. The end of the last days. There's going to pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Some wonderful things are going to happen. Amen. Wonderful things are going to happen. Old men are going to dream. Young men are going to see visions. Handmaids and servants are going to prophesy. It's going to be a time, I'm telling you, and it's a coming. The Bible said, on all flesh, amen, on all flesh. Afterward is the beginning of the church age. The eschaton is the ending. When there's a renewed church ready, God is going to pour out the Spirit in the world through that church. Listen, if God could say to us tonight what he wants to say to us, folks, amen, they would be such an urgency on our heart to provide him that vessel, to provide him that channel through which he can pour himself. This world and the end time outpouring of the Holy Spirit is waiting for a church to be renewed, to be ready. Talking today, the young man here with Brother Teague, his youngest son, he got three sons. And the youngest one that was here this morning, we took him to lunch. At lunch he was talking about, they've been in the services. He was an African born out there on the mission field. They lived always in the church, in revival. Amen. Preaching the gospel. And he said he'd been here, said, I just can't believe some of the things that I'm seeing that we're calling the church today. Just all impossible to believe that some of the things that's going on. And he was talking about this thing of inner healing, that always dealing with something, that everything that's happened and going on in your life is a product of something that happened to you back there in the past somewhere that you got to deal with before you can ever be right. That really being holy was a process of learning what happened to you in the past. That thing's got out on the mission field now. Amen. That the growth of the Christian is a matter of psychiatric aid. Just getting down with somebody that's a little school in human behaviorism and finding out what caused you to act. I'll tell you what caused you to act like you do when you're unsaved. Your father is the devil. That makes you act like you are. But when you're born again, then God is your father. You put the other to death. It doesn't matter what I used to be. All of this you see has come into the church today. That young man was talking. Listen, if we could realize all of that, even the thought of it has to be purged from that church. God is going to pour out his Spirit on all flesh. And if he lives in that body, then that body has to ready itself for that outpouring. There has to be God doing something with you and I individually. Amen. It's more than just going to church on a Sunday. Folks, it is letting God deal with his heart. Have a hard look inside of us. Whatever there is in there that hinders. We're so careless with our lives. We are so careless. You know, it is said of Jesus, said of himself, he said one time to a group of religious leaders and political leaders, he said, who among you accuseth me of sin? You know what he was saying? He said, I've never done anything I have to apologize for. I've never had to repent to one human being. There's never been a time in my life that I had to retract one word I ever said. My God, who are we dealing with here? And he said that as a man. We are so mixed up today. We say that sin is inedible. We make excuses for our sin. But God is saying to us, go on to perfection. Let God deal with our hearts. I'm not talking about being saved. I'm talking about becoming the channel through which his power can flow. The church has been here. It's gone through these stages and stages and stages. death and burial and resurrection and back again. But if God can get the vessel, you and I are the vessel. We are the Shekinah. We're God's skin tent. And if God is going to pour out His Spirit on the world, He has to have somebody to pour it out through. Amen. There has to be that, to pour it out through. There, the answer to everything spiritually is the presence of God. The answer to everything spiritually is the presence of God. It's not you learning. Everything. If that river flows, it'll heal. Whatever it touches, it'll heal. And the only thing, when it approaches human territory, is the only thing that slows it down. There is what has to be dealt with. Sanctify yourself, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. This is what I believe God is saying in this hour. Church, what He's saying is that the world's revival awaits on the church's renewal. Amen. For us to learn one more time that we are the temple of God, that the Spirit of the Lord dwelleth in us. That's the nature of God, to dwell in His people. And if He's going to pour it out, then there has to be that channel. There has to be that renewed church. That means you have to be renewed. That means something has to happen in your heart. You have to quit just coming along, sitting on a pew. The heart has to be tuned up mightily. You know, Jesus, I was just thinking, the person of Jesus Christ, and I was just thinking about Him, His very life. That one scripture shook me up. I'd read it a lot of times. He said, "Who among you accuseth me of sin?" What He was saying, there's nothing in me. I've faced every temptation. I've never said one word that I had to retract. There's not one human on this earth I've ever had to apologize to. I've never had to go to any human being, never ask Him to forgive me. That's what He was saying. He said, "I'm telling you, there's nothing in my life you, the devil, and every imp can find in me." That's what He was saying. Now, when you begin to think about that, who's living? Who's living? Who wants to be made alive in us? Amen. When it come to His word, when it come to His works, when it come to His life, when it come to His death, when it come to His resurrection, all of it. This, He says, "You are my body." Amen. What I was on this earth, you now have become. That's what John meant. As He was in this world, so are we. As He walked this earth for 33 years, the Shekinah of God, now we have become that. You and I, the church, have become that. Why isn't the world seeing the glory of God? Because the church has covered that light with a bushel. What a tragedy. He said, "Let your light shine." Now, I'm going to tell you, there never would have been a verse like that in this book if it wasn't possible for that to be in you and not be seen. This book is no mock. It doesn't put anything in there. He said, "Let your light so shine that men may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." You know what that's saying? That's saying that this Holy Ghost can be in us. This life, this wonderful life and light of God can be in us as a people and yet not be seen. Not be seen. What a tragedy. I said, what a tragedy. But it's so. And if the outpouring of the Holy Spirit that's going to bring the fire and bring the all of the things that the Apostle Peter prophesied there when he talked about this end time, if that is going to happen, ladies and gentlemen, there's going to have to be a church that's ready for that to happen, renewed and ready for that to take place in her life. He said, "In the last days, saith God, I'll pour out my Spirit upon all flesh." He said, "Your sons and daughters shall prophesy. Young men see visions. Old men shall dream dreams. All of this upon my handmaids and my servant will I pour out of my Spirit." You know, I see. You know what he's saying? You know, We made mention that, and I'll deal with it extensively, about that servant, that bond servant, had that ear bored. Went to that temple and put that hole in that ear. And he said, I'm yours forever. I love you. Not a servant for hire. I belong to you. Two things happened to him. He lost his last name. He no longer had a name to sign for anything because he couldn't own anything. That meant every baby belonged to him. His offsprings all belonged to him. Now, when you think that, see, we're the bond servants. Those, everything. We lost our last name in this deal. We married him. No longer Clendenin, but Bert Jehovah. Isn't that a good name? Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Lost that. No longer. Can't sign name no more. Don't own no property. No offspring here. Belong to God. Amen. You know what that's saying? He said, upon my handmaids, my servants, he said, they'll prophesy. Now, over the last little while, I've watched over the last little while here in the church. I was talking to John here, and I was talking to some of these others that have been filled with the Holy Ghost. When they're growing up, you know, when they were growing up, I was having me a hard time with them. Amen. They're talking. They're chewing gum. They're filing them nails. They're down talking. They'll scoot down under the pew where you couldn't see them. You know, but yet all the while, see, all the while, they're his. Amen. They're his. What he's saying, they'll be the ones to prophesy. I saw those same ones over the last week filled with the Holy Ghost. Amen. One, some people want to write off, filled with the Holy Ghost. Let me tell you something. If that church becomes what it's supposed to be, if that church becomes that channel, and those people, that servant, God said, those kids are mine. That temple is mine. Those kids are mine. And you just keep on. One day there'll be a prophesying. I said, one day there'll be a prophesying. I used to sit here, get up here and preach. And I'd watch that Charles Turnage and that Spoonmore boy, that oldest, and sit back there, and when Mama and Papa wasn't looking, it'd slip out there, and I'd see him going. I'd want to holler out there and tell Mama to get him, but it didn't. But I lived to see him prophesy. You hear me? I said, I lived to see him prophesy. Amen. Oh, yes, sir. I watched that Dana dance in this hall one night, come down out of that hall. I thought it was a hopeless case for a while. Amen. But I saw him. Oh, let me tell you something. What I'm telling you folks is that the renewing of that church is the answer to everything. You understand what I'm telling you tonight? That it isn't a matter of just praying for that boy, that girl. It's that church being right. He said that old man dream his dreams. That young man burn with that vision. And those over there that you give up on will begin to prophesy in a minute. I said they'll begin to prophesy. There's no way that it can be otherwise. But it all depends upon that vessel getting itself in the right place. The world can never know God apart from the vessel through which he lives. Your neighbor has the opinion of God that they have of you. You tell them what God is like. Hey, what you always a fussing over there? They said, God sure must be a fusser. They can hear you all over the block screaming at one another. They say, the Lord must be mean. Yes, sir. Their opinion of God is what's coming out of you. That life can be in you and hid, but what you demonstrate is what they believe him to be. They'll never see that glory as long as our selfishness shows. It is only as he can do that work in us that that channel can be open. If he's going to pour it out on all humanity, there has to be a vessel for it to come through. There has to be a renewed church. You can press that pillar tonight, folks. You can believe this. The Bible said, if you tell them, then it'd be their problem if they're not saved. But if you don't tell them, their blood will be on your hands. I'm going to tell you, that goes far beyond your saying, are you a Christian? Because sometimes they'd like to say, are you? You know, you say, are you a Christian? They'd like to turn that question around. Ask you, are you one? From what they've saw out of life. Sometimes. You know, we have every year in the ordination, They have on the bottom the last question. Do you believe and still maintain a belief in all the doctrines of the Assemblies of God? I want to write down there, do you? There's so many things changed and so many things got in. I just sometimes just want to write a little question down there myself. Do you believe it? I mean, the things that we're letting come into it anymore. I believe, listen, what they see out of me, what they see out of you in the home, on the job, is what they perceive your God to be. And I want to tell you something. They're 100% right. Because they see all that hell raising, they're seeing you. And if that's what dominates your life, then you are your God. And that's a bad God to have to deal with. Revival in the world awaits the renewal of the church. Stand with me here tonight. Hallelujah. Lift your hands. Glory to God. My God, make us understand tonight that we are the dwelling place of God. Make us understand. Oh God, make us understand tonight that we are the dwelling place of the Almighty. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Blessed be your wonderful name. Blessed be your wonderful name. Blessed be your wonderful, wonderful, wonderful name. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory to God. You know, folks, in view of this fact, you can say a lot of things. Not everybody hears what you're saying. But if you really hear that I, on this earth, in a measure, because not the whole church, not the whole body, but in a measure, have become what he was as a man here on this earth. God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself. It was in Christ. He was the covering of the glory of God. Men were able to see that glory in him. He was the prism that broke up that infinite holiness where men could look at God. Him. The Greeks said we'd see Jesus. Philip said that. He said, Philip, he that has seen me has seen the Father. Amen. He that has seen me has seen the Father. That's the way it ought to be in the church. That it's no longer I that liveth, but it's Christ.